Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff Jarrett.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. Now is live.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I'm Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Chopper Pete Quinnell. Hey Pete.
I know, isn't it crazy? Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. Luke is celebrating the birthday of his lady partner today. So we wish lady partner Luke, the Luke partner, Lady Luke herself, a very happy birthday. May you Lady spend Luke it indoors, that away from everyone you love.
Is that like Lady Luck? Words. Is that like Lady Luck, but slightly different?
Yeah, yeah, I think so. Well, should we get into the show?
We should. Well, we're going to be... I forget that Luke normally does it. Where we're going to be, because I do the NXT one and Laurie does it, where we're going to be talking about what's next for WWE with this huge, crazy, shocking announcement of WrestleMania main events being changed up. Here's the show.
Roman Reigns will not be competing at WrestleMania. Roman Reigns, one of the guys in the top matches for WrestleMania 36 this year. He's been scheduled, for the last month at least, to fight Goldberg for the Blue Universal title. And many months before then, you know, all the way back until October really, he was slotted to face The Fiend for the Blue Universal title. It was always meant to be Roman Reigns in there, but his opponent has changed because, you know, Goldberg's back now. But actually, he's the one that's had to pull out. It's because he apparently was uncomfortable going to the WWE Performance Center because he has suffered from leukemia since his early 20s. He's already had two bouts of that, one of which most recently concluded last year in about February time. And that means he doesn't have the best immune system, and people with underlying health conditions, medical conditions, pre-existing stuff like that are more at risk of contracting not a bad form of coronavirus, but the COVID-19 disease affecting them a lot more. So understandably, he said, I will feel a lot more comfortable just self-quarantining at home, it seems, going by the reports. And WWE, very nicely, you know, but understandably, have said, of course, yeah, you stay at home. What I'm confused by is, when did this come out? Apparently, the reports have WWE doctors of monitoring Roman Reigns for quite some time, because they know he is more susceptible to the really bad suffering to coronavirus because of the pre-existing leukemia. But if WWE knew that in advance, surely that wasn't the case up until last Friday, when he was in the main event of SmackDown signing the contract with Goldberg.
Yeah, in that really bad segment that had no actual emotional connection to it. Yeah, it was really strange how they've gone from promoting Reigns, and then all of a sudden, when they're supposed to be pre-taping WrestleMania from Wednesday night and last night, now, after those WrestleMania tapings have supposedly happened, now the story breaks of Roman Reigns is pulled out of WrestleMania. It was like, well, they must have already filmed the replacement. They must have already filmed some kind of Goldberg Universal title match with someone else in it. So you would have thought that this story would have broken earlier, or at least WWE would have known earlier than yesterday. So it's a really confusing timeline, but I think at the very least, Roman's made the right choice, and I think WWE have made the right choice to just say, you take care of yourself first, because at the end of the day, that is what's most important here. But if we're looking at it from a inside the wrestling bubble perspective, this is crazy to have it the week before WrestleMania and one of your top guys going for the title is now no longer in the match. So there's been wild speculation on who is supposed to replace Reigns in this match against Goldberg, whereas WrestleVotes have tweeted out, and Dave Meltzer's they've both reported that it's supposed to be Braun Strowman that's replacing him in the match, which is a fine replacement. It's fine. I don't really know what else they could have done in this scenario here. I've seen a very cool theory online, though, of they should have John Cena versus The Fiend be on the first night and kind of a number one contendership, and then the winner of that goes on to face Goldberg on night two, and then they become... The Fiend beats Cena, and he beats Goldberg to reclaim the Universal title, which I'm like, why didn't they just do that instead of having Braun Strowman? It makes so much more sense.
It's the WrestleMania 30 storyline with Daniel Bryan. That's a great idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the Naito story from Wrestle Kingdom is what it is.
Or, yeah, if you want to be all pretentious and New Japan about it, sure. But what's... So, this is interesting here. The usual disclaimer of course, the situation's terrible. There is no real good way to deal with it. However... Braun Strowman weirdly was pulled from the Intercontinental title feud last week, really, where all of a sudden it was Daniel Bryan and Drew Gulak gunning for Sami Zayn's faction with Shinsuke Nakamura and Cesaro. That match, Drew Gulak has to defeat, is it Nakamura, on it's Friday's Nakamura, SmackDown yeah. tonight? And if that happens, Bryan will get a match with Sami Zayn. That seems to be the direction they're going with for the Intercontinental belt. But that was Braun's storyline. That was Braun's storyline from Elimination Chamber and likely through to WrestleMania. You know, three people. That's so WWE to put against the monster among men. So we all thought that's a bit weird that they've just dropped Braun Strowman. I thought, well, maybe he's one of these guys who doesn't want to go to the Performance Center. He gives off a kind of doomsday prepper vibe. And also, a lot of the social media posts he's been doing, he's saying that he is helping out people. He is, he's helping deliver groceries. He's working with charities to sort of help support his community. I just thought that meant he'd gone home to sort of ride this all out. Mm-hmm. But no, I think that might be, he's been put in like super quarantine by WWE, so he is fine to be the backup for Roman Reigns. So that means WWE did know about it a week or 10 days ago at least, and just like how they treated WrestleMania, where they just kept on saying, well, it's going to happen in the big arena, it's going to happen in the big arena, when they knew perfectly well it wasn't. I think that's exactly what's happened here with Roman. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. It's I'm not issuing blame. I'm just trying to understand what's happened.
Yeah, it's a weird scenario. And I'm really looking forward to when the full story does kind of come out eventually of what the timeline's like and who found out when and all that stuff. Because it's a really, like, from a morbidly curious perspective, it's a really interesting story of, like, when Roman made the call to come out and when they decided that Braun was going to be the replacement and when Braun came in. Or have they done some weird thing where they're not supposed to bring him in, but they brought Braun in anyway because they needed someone to do it? Have they, like, gone against the stay-at-home Orlando ruling that they've done? I don't know. So I'm really curious to see how that plays out. But in terms of WrestleMania itself, there was a lot of talk of Roman Reigns and Goldberg main eventing the first night of the two nights, which now seems to be, you know, completely thrown out the window. The other match that they were talking about was Shayna Baszler versus Becky Lynch, supposedly main eventing the first night as well, which it seems like that should probably be the case now, unless they really want to kind of elevate this Braun thing. Maybe they're even on the WrestleMania show going to promote that it's going to be Reigns versus Goldberg. It's going to be Reigns versus Goldberg, but then they'll have some sort of, you know, there'll be a mystery attacker storyline or something along those lines, which would be really weird. And then there'd be, and his replacement, and they'll have, you know, the big Braun, except with no pop. So I don't know where they're going to go with it at all. And I don't know how they're going to kind of, because WWE haven't released a statement. This is just from insider reports. WWE haven't acknowledged it yet. Even when Sean Ross Sapp reached out to WWE to get a statement from them, they declined comment. So I don't know what's happening. I don't know how WWE are going to get from Roman Reigns versus Goldberg to Braun Strowman versus Goldberg without completely confusing everything. I feel like they should just kind of address it on the nose and just be like, hey, Roman Reigns couldn't make it. We've got Braun Strowman instead. I think that's probably the best thing for them to do. But I don't think they're going to do that.
Yeah, I don't think so either, because they do have this weird mindset and edict of just pretending like nothing's wrong. They've never once mentioned the sort of situation we're going through. They're still pushing the fact, the tagline, that WrestleMania 36 is over two nights because it's just too big for one night. When that isn't, any sane person knows that's not the reason. But if I was to give a prediction, I think Goldberg retains. And I'll tell you why. Because I think they still want to do Roman Reigns versus Goldberg. I think they will do that match and title change as soon as they can, whether that's an episode of SmackDown where it's safe to do so, or if they postpone it till SummerSlam. Maybe, you know, maybe we can't run and see new wrestling shows until SummerSlam anyway. And I think, because this won't go on last, on whichever night it's on, that won't be as bad. Plus, Strowman's been beaten so many times for the title. Like, he's tried to go for the title so many times. But it's going to be a clunky match. It should be over quickly, because neither guy is famed for their in-ring work.
Yes. I think it kind of writes itself where Strowman will go for a power slam, Goldberg will slide off the back, push him against the ropes and hit a spear. Like, that's just a spot that's definitely going to happen. If Strowman even gets the chance to hit a power slam, it might just be a literal 2-3 spears, jackhammer, well, I say jackhammer, suplex. You're done. I don't think it's going to be particularly great, but, you know, we can't be too critical of WWE at the end of the day with this situation, because it is absolutely insane.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
But speaking of WrestleMania, Ollie, aren't you supposed to be doing your music video punishment at some point? Because you lost the last season of Wrestle League, so...
Yeah. I will do that. I mean, it will definitely happen, Pete. The dance okay. Music video punishment will definitely happen.
Okay, that's good to know. That it
you know, dance.
Happen.
Dance, Chopper. Dance. Dance now. Do the thumbs. Do the thumbs for the people. Yes, Chopper.
This is weird being at home, dancing in isolation.
It's like you've paid for this service for me to just call you up and tell you to dance. Because
please
that's
don't.
What's going to happen.
That would be super weird.
But yeah. Stick around, folks. Obviously, pay attention next week because the dance video's happening. Whether I'm in it is another thing. What's going to happen with WrestleMania? And well, we know what's going to happen with WrestleMania, but what is next for WWE really? Because Thursday, yesterday, last night. Orlando's Orange County, or whatever it is, where the Performance Center exists, put down essentially a total lockdown order, a stay-at-home edict. And I feel like edict's my new word. I must have read it in a report yesterday. And that is until the 9th of April. WWE have taped everything they can up until that point. So Mania's taped, tonight's SmackDown's taped, next week's NXT, which will be TakeOver matches, they're taped. WrestleMania itself is taped. They run out of content after the Raw after Mania. So that's in the bag. And this stay-at-home thing lifts on the 9th of April, which is the Thursday. So WWE are still, you know, going in with the mindset that in 2 weeks' time, they will be able to broadcast SmackDown from the Performance Center on the 10th of April. I don't think it's going to happen.
I think the chances are that this stay-at-home edict will probably be extended past April 9th. I think that especially with USA now has the most cases of coronavirus in the world, even more than, you know, China, where this originated. I think this stay-at-home order is not going to go away very soon. I think we could be looking into maybe May before it even properly lifts, you know, late April, early May, maybe, before this lifts properly. So I don't know if WWE are going to be able to do anything beyond that. It might just be weeks of video packages and documentaries, and maybe they can do what they did on WWE Backstage and call people over Skype. I don't know, but I don't think they're going to be fortunate enough to get back to do SmackDown on April 10th. I just don't see it happening at all.
Yeah, same. I mean, just to sort of peel back the curtain, the way we're approaching WrestleTalk and everything, we're preparing for 3 months. I think that's the minimum everyone should sort of have their mindset for. I don't think anything's going to be lifted until then. China, yeah, they had that big initial outbreak, but then they did very draconianly shut down everything, and that they're starting to put people back out. Japan started running some wrestling shows earlier this week. They let fans in. They took temperatures of everyone as they came through the door, but then they've stopped that. You know, they've had to go back a step because it was a bad idea. So, yes, I'm not optimistic for the immediate to midterm future, and I don't realistically see any new wrestling content being filmed until, I don't know, yeah, late May, early June.
Yeah, exactly.
It's scary.
And even when they get back to that, what are they going to... I don't even think they're going to be proper shows. There's still probably going to be no fans shows. Maybe for even a couple months after that, even after you can record a show, it still might not be, you know, the kind of shows they want to do. So they might not even be looking at a proper show until SummerSlam or later. I don't know. No one really knows right now, but...
I think that should the title. Man. That should be the tagline for WrestleMania. Not too big for one night. No one really knows. but we do know one very interesting thing. It's like... So this, to me, seems to have all come from a tweet that CM Punk posted last Wednesday. And that was... he made a joke about WrestleMania being at the Performance Center. That's one way to stop people cheering for me. And then someone said, oh, you're just begging for a return. And he replied to them, I'm not the one privately texting begging for a match at Mania. Now, it's speculated the person he's talking about is Seth Rollins. Off the back of that, a lot of people got in touch with PW Insider's Mike Johnson, one of the most reliable news sites out there, and said, what, so Punk was going to wrestle Rollins? And Johnson, it seems, didn't see those initial tweets. He just, like, sort of was like, oh, okay, is this happening? Is this a rumor? So he checks with his sources, and everyone's like, no, actually, WWE have had no contact with Punk. And this story, you know, might not necessarily be new. It's probably stuff that's happened late last year when Punk initially returned. But more has come out over the last few days with, you know, Ringside News actually getting a rare thing right. And Wrestling Observer coming out as well. And all these, you know, very reputable sites are saying the same thing. And that is Vince McMahon doesn't want anything to do with CM Punk. To the extent where you would think people high up in the company, Triple H, Paul Heyman, would pitch for a CM Punk return. Apparently, Vince is so against it, saying, you know, this is a quote, he's the one person I will never do business with. That's from Dave Meltzer. That people just aren't even approaching the subject, which is insane.
Yeah, absolutely insane. Especially when you consider that, you know, the head of Raw right now is Paul Heyman, who is the quintessential Punk guy. And even he's just like, nah, not going to touch that one. Like, that indicates to me that that's not a never say never. That's just like a no, like absolutely not ever. Because we've seen people that, you know, Vince has always held a grudge against forever and ever. And they've come back eventually. People like, you know, Sam Martino and others that are escaping me right
Ultimate
now.
Ultimate Warrior. Bret Hart.
Ultimate Warrior, thank you. Yeah, people that Vince has had lifelong grudges against have still come back to WWE. This feels like, especially because we're most likely getting towards the tail end of Vince McMahon's tenure in WWE and his life, full stop, this is probably something that he's not going to let go and before he passes away. So this will be something that we will never see Punk back in WWE as long as Vince McMahon is still around. Because this is a grudge that he's not letting go of, which to me is absolutely bonkers, because it's Punk that should be holding the grudge against WWE, really. But then you've got Punk doing these funny kind of, you know, tongue-in-cheek tweets and things like that, and that's enough to set Vince McMahon off, because that he is talking bad about our company. But the report was as well that when Punk went to WWE backstage in November last year, the only reason that WWE okayed that at the time was because they didn't want to rock the boat with Fox, who they'd literally just moved to with SmackDown the previous month in October. So it was because Fox really wanted Punk, and they were like, sure, yeah, you can have that one. But it was very begrudgingly allowed Punk to go onto backstage. But I think now that he's being a bit more vocal about their product, they're kind of regretting that decision, and now Vince is probably wants him out sooner rather than later.
It makes a lot of sense when you go back and look at all the reports that were coming out around that time. PW Insider reported early September that, yeah, Punk's got the job. He's going to be on WWE backstage. But then there were two months of equally reliable people like Dave Meltzer, like Sean Ross Sapp at Fightful saying, oh, actually, the deal isn't done. No, he's not. We've actually been told he's not going to be it. And you could say, well, that's misdirection for a surprise. Or were WWE actually pushing back on it And then they were like, oh, actually, yeah, let Fox take that win. And then also, there was, when Punk first appeared on there, that was when Rollins was a heel in all but name. He was still being pushed as a babyface, but Twitter had long since turned him. And he was, Punk called him out. And Rollins referenced Punk in Chicago, I believe it was, on an episode of Raw. And, you know, sort of addressing the CM Punk chants. And the reports at the time of Vince McMahon was furious because he doesn't want that match to be promoted because he has no intention of ever putting it on. In the back of my head, I always thought, I think that's a work. But now with this information, I'm like, oh man, maybe he really did flip out backstage.
Yeah, like, it would not surprise me in the slightest for someone who reportedly, you know, really disagrees with CM Punk as much as he does. It would not surprise me at all to even, you know, like, the mention of his name could just set him off. When we've seen minor things, as Brody Lee has so perfectly encapsulated on AEW this week, the most minor of things can set Vince McMahon off. So it would not surprise me in the slightest that a mention of CM Punk around him would probably set him off, but a mention of CM Punk on the TV show in the town that he's from is probably, like, even more next level. Like, he probably got, you know, shouted at quite a lot, I would think, backstage after that show. I would not have wanted to have been Rollins there.
I always thought the beef was between CM Punk and Triple H. I always thought that was it, and Vince McMahon was just kind of, you know, yeah, I don't really care. But now it seems like, you know, it was Triple H saying the never say never stuff late last year. So, and he's got a great mind for the business, and I'm sure he can. He's willing to bury that hatchet if Punk wants to come back. But the other thing from the newsletter was that it was Punk's agent actually did reach out to WWE. WWE actively turned down, actively snubbed, to use the title of this video, a CM Punk return.
Which to me is insane. It's a CM Punk return. It would be like one of the biggest things in ever. Well, it might have been slightly marred by, you know, the whole WWE backstage thing. But it still would have been a crazy return that definitely would have, one, popped a rating. You know how much Vince loves those. And it definitely would have created some form of interest from those fans who were, you know, big Punk marks back in the day who might have since faded away from wrestling when Punk did. Exhibit A. And I think you're right as well that the beef is definitely with Vince and not Triple H, because I think the reports even came out when people like we mentioned before, Sam Martino and Ultimate Warrior, came back to WWE and got inducted in the Hall of Fame. It was Triple H who was mostly responsible for reaching out to those people and doing those negotiations with them and having those conversations and, you know, mending those bridges. So I think that, yeah, absolutely, Triple H would be willing to, you know, bury the hatchet, and if it meant a CM Punk return and it meant getting a rating and it meant making more money, I think Triple H would put his ego aside for a minute. I think we've seen that he can do that when it comes to stuff like NXT. He's treating that as his baby, but he's not very much involved on camera. He doesn't have a huge ego when it comes to it. He did it this week with Gargano and Ciampa, but I think that was more because Regal wasn't there. But
the creator!
So I think, yeah, he'd be willing to put it aside and he'd be willing to have Punk back, but not if Vince is around, because, yeah, he will not let that happen.
CM Punk return not confirmed. But let's briefly talk about it's Raiden's War. Hallelujah, it's a Raiden's War. Before we get into the mailbag, it's still a weird time for ratings. Wrestling viewership is down now after the first week of no fan shows. But that doesn't necessarily mean a bad thing. Because that's right, folks, we're so AEW biased, we're going to spin a lower number into a big win. NXT was up 100,000 viewers from last week's, you know, it was a non-show effectively. It was just promo packages. Mm-hmm. But this week they did put on no fans matches. It was up to 669,000. Still very low for the show, but a huge increase on last week. AEW Dynamite lost 100,000 viewers by comparison. I wonder if there's any crossover there of the Venn diagram. They are very similar numbers. Dropping 932,000 from last week's excellent No Fans show to just 819,000 this time round. One of their lowest ratings. However, if you take out all of the news programmes on TV, Dynamite was the second most watched show on cable. That's remarkable. Whereas NXT didn't that's even insane. Rank in the top 50. Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually insane. And like you said, I think it's interesting that I think Dynamite last week was probably buffered by the fact that NXT didn't have a show. So even people that are normally, you know, would watch NXT and then maybe check out AEW afterwards or something, were like, well, I want to watch some wrestling and NXT doesn't have a show. I'll check out AEW this week. So it's probably, yeah, a combination of NXT having a show and AEW, and sorry, and ratings just dropping over time anyway, just because of the situation, and all the news channels is people just constantly checking out news to see, probably, can we go back outside yet? But yeah, so it's I don't think it's not as bad as it looks. Bloody AEW marks, aren't we? If you want to submit your question to the Patreon mailbag, become a Pledge Hammer on Patreon. You can be at any dollar tier. It doesn't matter what you are. You just go over to the community tab and put your question on it with the title mailbag in it, and it gets read out on a show like this. Now, I will preface for this one, there were quite a few mailbag questions that are now very out of date because they were about Roman Reigns winning at WrestleMania. So, sorry, won't get a chance to read those ones. But we do have some other ones here. So, we've got Chris Gardner says, so with wrestling continuing in this time, what new spots would you like to see that they wouldn't be able to do in normal times? I think it'd be fun for a lower card heel to stop mid-match, to use hand sanitizer to wash their hands, then later in the match spraying it in the faces of the face to get the win.
Yeah, I was, when we were first thinking about No Fans Monday, I was pushing for a more comedy approach to give levity to the situation, where backstage interviewers will be wearing hazmat suits. There'll be more comedy matches on there. But rightly, everyone said, no, this is the time to show serious wrestling. But yeah, I think some of that would be quite funny. I think if we had a character debut as coronavirus, it could be quite cathartic for all the baby faces to beat them up. But yeah, in terms of other spots, I don't know. What about you?
I think just generally having people maybe like reference masks or something like that. Someone would come out with a mask that would get, I don't know, someone like twangs the mask in their face as like a bit of offense or something like that. I think that'd be funny. Yeah, I think it would generally be more comical than, you know, serious stuff. We've got another question here from A Magic Chili, who said, hi, new patron will need to access more content due to Steve Carino. Was wondering if any of you at WrestleTalk have ever had a hard disagree with Dave Meltzer regarding his star ratings. Have you ever thought he has been totally wrong, as in rating way too high or far too low? Thanks, and keep up the good work.
No is the answer to a hard disagree, because I don't really get angry at other people's opinions, because I recognize that not everyone likes the same stuff I do. I think that's a healthier way to live. But I mean, recently Luke and I rewatched WrestleMania 26, and we always go through the star ratings. Cheap plug for Patreon, if you go over there, me and Luke have done the WrestleMania 26 review, which is exclusive there. But he gave Cena and Batista, which is the semi-main in that match, on that card, like 3.5 stars or 3.75. But it was actually a damn good match. You know, like, it holds up a lot better than plenty of others. But realistically, I'm only talking about giving it 4 stars rather than 3.5. I mean, is that a hard disagree? I don't think so.
Yeah. I think there's probably been some times, I think the first thing that came to mind was your WrestleTalk Extra episodes. There's been times when you've been like, well, that was a bit harsh. Like, it shouldn't have been that low. But it's never been like, he's wrong. You know, it's never that hard. And I'm the same in that regard. Next one here from Chris Thorne said, Asuka and jobbing out to blonde women in WrestleMania week. Name a more iconic duo. If you could see a wrestler wrestle a different version of themselves, who would you pick? For example, Mankind versus Mick Foley versus Dude Love versus Cactus Jack. It can't be Bret Hart versus Bret Hart, even though everyone wants to see 2009 Bret Hart wrestle again.
Nuh-uh. Oh, God, it's so embarrassing. He's dressed like a teenager. It's so sad. I would probably go for the Chris Jerichos. I would go for...
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. But they're all heels. All the best ones are heels.
Yeah.
I tell you, maybe a Fiend versus Wyatt Family Bray Wyatt would be cool.
That's my answer. How dare you? Yeah, I can't really think of too many others. No. Nothing else comes to mind immediately. I was going to say The Man versus Straight Fire, but that would just be bad. That would just be weird and bad. Got another one here from Sean Dunn, who says, Hi guys, thanks for all the content during total lockdown. Question, do you think if Bray wins at Mania, will the Fiend go away for a while, as Cena is the last revenge to set Bray free? Maybe Bray will become a big babyface after this. Also, other ideas for pay-per-views, Isolation Chamber, Quarantine Massacre. Stay safe, your CBW Mark, Sean.
Hi, Sean. I don't like Quarantine Massacre. It's a bit
on
much.
The nose, isn't it?
No, I don't think the Fiend will go away because there are contextual ways to keep that around. I would be more interested in seeing Bray Wyatt, Mr. Rogers Bray, essentially be the babyface. And a lot of the feuds are with himself as much as they are with his opponent. Like, he becomes more regretful or fearful of the Fiend as opposed to kind of facilitating it at the moment.
Yes, yeah. And then he could just be like, the Fiend made me do it, even though he did it. Matthew M. Muldoon says, Hey guys, I obviously had a lot of time on my hands and watched all the Ruthless Aggression episodes on the network. I love that Brock stayed true to kayfabe, just kidding, I know he legitimately doesn't care, and skipped his own documentary. It made it so much better, and for whatever reason, it made me like Brock more than I did before. It got me thinking about Ollie's feelings towards The Undertaker and the blurring of real world and wrestling. I know social media is a new facet of wrestling, and we are smarter as fans, but how would you do it where there isn't such a stark contrast between a person and a persona? Hope you all are well, and keep up the great work.
I would just have people... I would take a lot of people off of social media, because they're not witty or smart's the wrong word, but like for instance, people like MJF, they can, and Kevin Owens, these sorts of people do very, very well putting their character over on social media, and there's hardly any conflict there, particularly MJF. But the you know, there's so many people who can't. Who just don't have the self-control or maybe self-awareness to present themselves consistently. Braun Strowman proved that last week. Seth Rollins proved that last year. Becky Lynch is very good at it. I would say she's one of the good ones. So anyone who's not amazing at it, just don't give them social media accounts. Say you can't have an officially sanctioned WWE account. You can only have your private one, and you can't make it public.
Yeah. That would be me as well, because it seems weird when Undertaker tweets. It's just strange, isn't it? Got another one here from Dan.
Dan
Painsville, Dan, who says, Hey guys, I hope the entire SWAF Nation's doing well. Do you have recommendations of some hidden gem wrestling shows we should watch during this time? For example, B pay-per-views or indie shows you recommend that are not getting named all the time. I'd recommend Battleground 2013, because nothing beats that wholesome Rhodes Shield tag team match.
What a match.
Great match.
One of my most overlooked things, where people just don't talk about it, is Ring of Honor from 2010 to 2011. I'm pretty sure that's the case. Because Jim Cornette had the book, and a lot of people didn't like that. I loved it. I thought it was... It's actually my favourite run of wrestling of all time. It was so consistent. Weekly TV for a year. That's when Sami Zayn, or a different person, El Generico, was feuding with Kevin Steen, who's now Kevin Owens, and... Kevin Steen was ridden off TV for 9 months because he lost a Loser Leaves Town match. And he just starts to appear at shows after 9 months of really smart teasing. This is also the time when you get the American Wolves really take over Ring of Honor. So Davey Richards and Eddie Edwards with some fantastic matches. Jay Lethal starts his sort of mid-card, real good worker part of his career. You've also got Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Cole coming up as the American Wolves' seconds. You know, there's no Bobby Fish in any of this. It's a fascinating part of wrestling history a decade ago. And it's absolutely extraordinary. And Michael Elgin as well, who's sort of been put by the wayside, missed out of this, everyone who got picked up by WWE. His match with Davey Richards on WrestleMania weekend in 2011, that's one of my most underrated matches of all time. So yeah, just all of that stuff, really.
I'd say that one Battleground that had Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens on it was good. Yeah. And
what a match.
I can't remember whether it was the same year or a different year when they had the Shield Triple Threat main event it, I think.
I think it's the same show.
Also a Battleground. Battleground has had some good matches on it. Though in fairness, it's also had the Punjabi Prison match with Jinder Mahal and Randy Orton. Mixed bag. Next one from Galugian Classic. Said, hey lovely boys, just watched the latest Being the Elite and it got me thinking, with the amazing slow build to the potential heel turn of Hangman, what if it's not Paige who turns? Who else could you see turning full heel and why? I'm saying Kenny, after the Elite win at Blood and War Gut Games, which isn't happening anymore, mainly because they teased a little something with him a while back which never got a payoff with his I'm just getting started catchphrase, and he said it again in the latest Being the Elite. Whoever does turn, I think it will mean the disbanding of the Elite as we know it, so Paige gets his wish to just walk away without turning heel. Maybe we'll get the Broken Bucks. Anyway, I'd love to see you discuss this and know what you think.
I think the Young Bucks will turn heel, if anyone. I don't want the Elite to fracture now. We've only just realistically got them as the unit they should have been from the start. I think you need a year, 18 months to properly establish that act as an all-time great faction to the larger North American audience. I think Broken Matt will turn, though. I think he's sort of that tweener after War Games.
Yeah, that sounds reasonable to me. I don't think I'd want to see heel Kenny yet. I would want to see it at some point, but make him over as the best wrestler in the world again first, and then, you know, have that shocking heel turn at some point down the line. Jonathan the Headmaster Headman says, our biggest enemy is going quarantine crazy through loneliness. The only thing that helps me maintain my slender grip on reality is the friendship I share with my collection of singing potatoes. What's keeping you all sane in quarantine isolation?
For me, it's a boring answer. It's been ringing a lot of people, FaceTiming them, and sort of hanging out just over the phone. But also Animal Crossing.
Yeah, that's a good answer.
Yeah.
For me, it's been much of the same. I've got a group chat with a couple of friends who are also working from home. So we constantly just kind of message each other to be like, hope you're still sane. It's a nice day outside, isn't it? And all just chatting nonsense about whatever, just so we can keep ourselves sane while we're working from home. And also, it's been nice to have my lady partner here, because she's not working at the minute, because she worked in a restaurant, which is now closed. But she's been around to help me out with just, you know, making me meals and things, which is great. Takes the stress off, which is lovely. We've got the last mailbag question for today. We've got one from Dwayne Cooley, who said, hello, WrestleTalk. Hope you guys are safe and healthy during this uncertain time. I watched the Tony Khan Unrestricted interview last week, and it got me thinking. He said that he's pretty much been writing Dynamite storylines for the last 25 years or so, way before it became an actual company. Do you think if Vince took a step back, watched his product or even just other promotions for about a month and wrote a number of storylines, good or bad, would WWE turn out better since he plans to book the show well beyond his grave, or would Vince continue to not get it and stick to what he's done forever?
Interesting question. I think I really don't know. I really don't know if the answer is because Vince is past it and he has run out of new ideas and he doesn't... Yeah, he's lost sight of what connects with the audience these days. He also took a lot of chair shots to the head, and I don't think that can ever be discounted towards about someone who does display such apparently erratic behaviour. But, you know, there is an argument for when you are in the thick of it and you never take a break or time off, you cannot see the wood through the trees, essentially. So, yeah, maybe if he did just take 2 months off, he would come back revitalised and not as stressed and in this such a reactive mode all the time.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much spot on. I don't think he would ever watch other promotions because I don't think he cares enough. He's in his WWE bubble and that's all that matters. But I do think, yeah, some time off would do him a world of good to kind of readjust, reprocess, though I don't know what he'd do in his time off. Because I feel like his time off would, work out or watch old WWE stuff. I don't know. I don't know what he'd do. Because he just works constantly. That's all he does. So, Ollie.
Yes?
How are you finding this whole working at home thing?
Yeah, the novelty's worn off. I certainly started with a lot of, oh my god, this is the future of work. We can make ourselves more versatile, more flexible, more adaptable to change. And as of Tuesday, I've just been laying down a lot.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I had a thing where I was going to do 10 pull-ups on the hour, every hour, if I could. And I've not done that for 2 days. I did one this morning because I felt guilty. But it's been 3 hours since then. Yeah, what are you up to?
Or one set of 10?
One set of 10.
Okay.
I'm doing it with a little crunch in midair as well, so my knees come up to my chest.
Nice.
I thought
very good.
That's like two exercises in one. What are you doing?
Crying? No. I'm doing okay. Like you said, the novelty's definitely worn off from working from home. I'm getting a bit bored of just seeing my bedroom and my living room all the time. I just want to go and see other things, but I can't. And occasionally I might go for a walk around the lake that's near our house.
Oh, you've got a lake?
Got a lake
that's
right next
nice.
Door. Yeah, it is really nice around that lake. But even that is starting to be like, it's the same lake though, isn't it? Like, all the time.
But we're a little bit bored of our walks, usually along the wetlands, which is sort of a reservoir place. I think it's going to get shut down soon, unfortunately, in terms of we're not allowed to go in it. But we've gotten bored of that. We've gotten bored of the park. Yesterday, we went for a walk around the industrial estate.
Oh, wow. That's romantic.
Yeah. It was nice. It was a nice different change.
God, it makes you appreciate certain things, doesn't it? Jesus. Walk around the industrial estate sounds great right now. I do have an email here from a Datsun World problem.
Ooh.
About working from home. This is going to be your first exposure to Datsun World problems.
Oh, I get them every... Well, when he was in the office, we'd get them on an hourly basis.
That's true. But Datsun World problems from the SWAF Nation is slightly different. We've got an email here from Patrick with his Datsun World problem. Which says, gentlemen, I've worked from home for a long time now, and all of these rookies coming on board has ruined it for me. No one cared to do video chat with me while they were at the office, and now that's all they want to do. This is a problem because I generally work with no shirt on as my home office faces the midday sun, and it gets hot as hell here in Florida. So requests to chat have to be artificially delayed while I try to hunt for a shirt and or pants. Additionally, since none of you people have learned the ins and outs of things like when to stop working and take a break, my lunch hour naps were ruined all week. I need those naps and you've taken them from me. Patrick from Orlando.
That's definitely the worst thing that's happened. That's the worst story I've heard from the whole outbreak that's happened over the last 2 months.
Yeah, totally.
I really feel for you there, Patrick. Have you read any of these stories about you know, funny tales where people aren't adapting to remote working as well as possible.
Yeah, I've read a few.
My favourite one is the one I watched earlier, where have you seen it? It's on our little general tab in Discord.
No, oh, maybe.
It's Nate posted it, and it's on.
Oh, the video. Yeah. It's so good.
It's a sort of live streamed thing where everyone's sitting far apart from each other, and the mayor of whatever county it is, or mayor, as the Americans say, he gets up to go to the toilet. But he's not. He's presumably not usually microphoned for this. He leaves the microphone on, and it is like classic fart noises. But if you played me those isolated fart noises, and I wouldn't believe them. I would say no, that's come from a comedy soundtrack, but that they are perfect pops as this woman is trying to have a very serious discussion about the measures they're going to put in place in the county, and she can't stop laughing, and they all get the giggles, and it was so funny.
And she can't even look at him when he comes back in.
Yes,
she's just like, oh god, like I can't look at him anymore. Oh, it's brilliant.
What is the name of that? I'll tell everyone so they can have a little bit of levity in their day. It is, if you just search during coronavirus meeting, mayor excused for toilet. There you go, and you'll find it. Have you seen? Nice. Did you go out onto your balcony or whatever last night to clap for NHS?
Absolutely, yeah. I only heard about it like an hour beforehand because my lady partner told me about it, and I was like, "Oh, that's nice, cool." I didn't like get it at first. I was like, "Oh, that seems nice, I guess." And we went out at 8 o'clock, and literally, like, everyone in our building and across the way on another building that's, like, a whole, like, court of building of block of flats and stuff, everyone came out on their balcony, and everyone just started clapping and whooping and cheering and stuff, and I was like, this is nice. Mm. It's nice to have something in amongst the pile of crap that is the world right now. It was nice to just be like, yeah, but we're all still kind of part of this. We're fighting. And for just, like, maybe a minute, I was proud to be British for a little bit.
for the Yanks who don't know what we're talking about, at 8 o'clock yesterday evening, there was a sort of coordinated social media effort for everyone to just go outside on their doorsteps or balconies or whatever and just applaud for all the people, you know, on the front line of health services. And when my lady partner told me about it, I was snarky. I was like, well, we're not going to see any of them. You know, like, there's no one walks through our bit. We're not going to see people coming home. When I went out there and the amount of people were cheering, I couldn't see anyone, but my God, you could hear it. It was deafening. It was really emotional. And
right?
Round our way, because it's a bit rough and ready, someone started letting off fireworks.
Amazing.
Where did you get those from? It's a lockdown.
I love that as well. And yeah, one of the people from across the way came out with an air horn instead of... Yeah, it was literally that. While people were politely clapping and cheering, this guy was constantly. But yeah, it was kind of emotional. It was nice to kind of feel everyone be around, to be like, can't physically be next to you, but we are, like, you know, we're still supporting everyone. It's good.
Like it, us, it felt nice for a little we're, bit. We're there in our ears.
Yes. Yes.
Because of the clapping. Sure. You could hear the clapping.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah.
We've got another email here. Another Datsun World problem, if you want it.
Hit me up.
And this is another part of the email I read out yesterday on the NXT podcast from Adam, because it was a very long email. But we've got the Datsun World problem section of the email I read out now. Who says, Datsun World problem, the Bud Light virus has ruined my life. There are lots of stories that may start the same way, but let me explain my Datsun World problem. Late last year, my Bluetooth headphones died, so I decided to look into new upgraded headphone models. After looking for a few days, I decided to back a new set on Kickstarter. I knew it would take a little while for them to arrive, but the style and features seemed like a good setup. I grabbed a cheap pair of wired headphones and figured they would last me until the new pair arrived. ETA late February, early March 2020.
Oh no.
The campaign stayed relatively on track, and we were told that shipping would start after Chinese New Year. It was during Chinese New Year that the restrictions started to begin, and we were told that the manufacturing and shipping was being held up until the Bud Light virus blew over. Then the wait got longer and longer. All the while, I'm stuck here with my wired headphones that are catching on everything. Door handles, vacuum cleaners, my shirt, pockets. Whenever I'm trying to listen to a podcast, like the most consistent wrestling podcast on the internet, I have to stop whatever I'm doing every 20 seconds to plug the damn things back in. All because I haven't been sent my damn wireless headphones. I don't know how we possibly survive with them as long as we have. They are by far the most annoying things to have to deal with, and the only reason I have to deal with them is the damn Bud Light virus. Thanks, Adam.
Thank you, Adam. And you know, we'll all get through this together. Is the lesson exactly. To take there? When I was out on my balcony last night, I knew some of those cheers weren't for the NHS. They were for people like you, putting in that struggle during these hard times with your wired headphones.
Yeah, exactly. It's terrible. I mean, to the point where I even had to get you to buy me a wireless headset that I could use at work because just couldn't deal with the headphones, man. They are, in fact, terrible. See, I'm really glad as well, because I'm glad I got to read you some Datsun World problems, because you react in the correct way to these Datsun World problems. Because when I read them to Datsun, he just picks them apart and tells them why they're not terrible. And I'm like, no, Datsun, that's not the point. You're supposed to support these people in their very serious troubles.
Has he never gone, oh, that's worthy?
No.
Wow.
Never.
I think
it's always just like, oh, well, I think the solution to that would be this thing. It's like, Datsun, not the point.
That plays into Datsun's psyche, which is...
I know, yeah.
You know, there's a level of self-absorption there where, no, only Datsun can have Datsun World problems.
I mean, they are called Datsun World problems after all.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's probably all the time we've got for this episode of the Wrestle Talk podcast. Thank you very much for listening, everyone. We'll be back. Oh, there'll be a special episode going up on Monday. We've got the SmackDown review tomorrow as well. But we've got a special Wrestle Talk extra podcast is going to be coming out in your feeds on Monday. I don't know which one it is. I haven't spoken to Luke about which one it is yet. But there will be another retro pay-per-view review coming in your podcast feeds on Monday. So stay tuned for that. And we'll be back on Tuesday. And then we've got WrestleMania week. Crazy, I know.
Wow.
Thank you very much for listening, everyone, and I love you all. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.